Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's be honest. According to our world, God is dumb. And that attitude, of course, can take all kinds of different forms in our world. It takes forms such as the extreme form of atheism that's been very prevalent in recent years. That kind of atheism that seems to hate all religions and ridicules them as though they are fairy tales and lies. And even will say that religion in and of itself is abusive and is in fact child abuse to teach to children. There are certainly folks like that out there. You've heard of names like Richard Dawkins, right? He's become very popular. He's one representative of that form of extreme atheism. But this form that says God is dumb, at least the God of Scripture, the God of the Bible, the God of the cross, it also takes other forms as well. It takes forms such as that kind of spirituality that thinks that there is certainly some sort of greater power in the universe, but that you and I get to define for ourselves what that power is like, what its characteristics are. And when you listen to folks who have drunk deeply from that particular well, strangely, what you often find is that the deity they seem to describe looks an awful lot like them, looks an awful lot like what they believe. And it all comes back to this, that the world says the God of the Bible, the God of the cross, is moronic. For only the God of the Bible hides himself behind a signpost on which is hung that which is killing you. Think about that. Our God hides himself behind a sign of what is killing you. Just like Moses in the wilderness standing up on a pole, a fiery bronze snake, that very thing that was killing them, so that they would look at a snake, the thing killing them. They would look at that and be saved. Just like that, so God has us look to the cross of Jesus on which is hung our sin. Now the Israelites looked at that snake with faith in God's promise that he would save them by this. And so we, foolish Christians, will cling to God's same promises that when we look in faith on the cross of Christ on which is hung all our sin in his flesh, it is the sign, it is the power, it is the wisdom of God for our salvation. And so God hides himself behind this cross. He buries himself in the promise found in the cross, only to be found by those who will look here where he's hidden himself in order that there at the cross, and only there, he may be found. Now, as I said earlier, the hyper-religious, those folks who certainly are very spiritual, but reject this notion of the cross and everything that goes with it, the hyper-religious look for signs. They ask for them. They seek signs. And if God should refuse to give any sign but his cross, they are offended. That's stupid, they say. The God I believe in wouldn't do that. Well, how do you know? How do you know? If you do not have a sure and certain word of the Lord which commands or promises it, all of your supposing about who this God is just the imagination of your own heart. It has no more authority than your own heart has. And we all know how our hearts have misled us from time to time, led us down garden paths. And so, where has God given any such promise that he works through any sign other than his cross? Meanwhile, we heard just this day that his cross is his wisdom, it is his power, it is his sign to you and to me. Now, in the New Testament, that word sign, we think of signs on a post. But that word sign always tends to be paired with signs and wonders. And so we get this notion that a sign is not like a sign on a post telling us where to go, but that a sign is instead some kind of miraculous something or other that happens. That, you know, these miraculous happenings that accompany the preaching of Christ crucified. These miraculous wonders. And indeed, all throughout history and certainly in Scripture, there are many miraculous wonders that have accompanied the sign of the preaching of Christ crucified. And yet, the preaching of Christ crucified is the sign in itself of God's grace and mercy and power. And the greatest wonder that accompanies that preaching, that accompanies that sign, is when people actually believe that which is powerless to those who are sign seekers and that which is foolishness to those who are wisdom lovers. That's the most miraculous wonder that occurs whenever the gospel is preached. There may indeed be other miraculous wonders that happen too, but the most miraculous thing is faith in that word of the cross. And so the word of the cross is a sign, it is a wonder in itself, because at the moment when Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, hung on the cross in seeming weakness and in great shame, at that moment, he was powerfully casting out, exorcising the prince of this world from this world. You see, mankind had been given authority over the earth, over all living creatures. And all of creation had been created in order to supply life for all the living creatures. When mankind has authority over the living creatures, he's got authority essentially over all things. This is what God gave to mankind in the beginning. He gave them dominion over all life. And so when Satan tempted that first man and woman, when he led them into sin, he usurped their power, and now he rules over all things. He rules over all things through us. Did you catch that? Satan, through leading Adam and Eve into sin, now is the puppet master pulling our strings. He's that Machiavellian prince, that power behind the throne. And so when you wonder, why are all these evil things happening? Why? Because God gave us authority over the earth. And Satan's the one pulling the strings on that authority. Does that explain to you a little bit about why God had to become a human in order to take that authority back? I mean, he's God. He could do whatever he wants. But he plays by his own rules. He plays by the rules he's established. And so he came in to invade Satan's domain, to cast out the prince of this world. And so that original sin, of course, of Adam and Eve, it still impacts us to this day, and it leaves us enslaved as though we are pawns and puppets on the throne of the world. We are the top dog in creation, but Satan rules and increases death in the world through us. And since creation exists in order to feed and to provide for life on earth, if we, the rulers, are bent inward on ourselves, how much more so the rest of creation itself? And so Satan pulls our strings. He's the power behind the throne, and all of creation is bent and twisted inward on itself, no longer providing and increasing life on earth, but instead increasing death on earth. I mean, we see this in those, you know, supernatural acts, the natural acts of the universe, right? We call them acts of God. But, you know, things like earthquakes, tornadoes, creation itself, which was meant to provide life, is now at times taking life, isn't it? This is the impact of that first sin of mankind and the continuing sin of mankind. And that's Satan's desire. To increase death on earth, to speed us towards death. Because Satan has always been about lies and darkness and death. And when he speaks, all he ever speaks is lies. Lies with the purpose of increasing death. lies with the purpose of killing all that which is good. And since death, the first death came through lies, Adam and Eve died because of the lies of Satan that they believed and listened to, and ultimately they sinned and ultimately they died. God had to then defeat death by holding death up for you to see in Christ, who is the truth. He has lifted up His Son, on which He placed all sin and all death. All the lies of the world which rob you of your life, so that all the world can see this death which casts out Satan, which broke his power, which freed the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve from the power of sin over them. And now all humanity can be free from that. All of us can have life to the full, life in Him, but only in Him. Not apart from Him, for He is life. He has cast out death, and where He is, death departs. There life is. And so we seek Him where He is found. And He is found in His word of His cross. He is found in the proclamation of Christ crucified for you. He is your life. He is your victory. And look to Him and His cross. Trust in it. For His cross draws you near to Him, to His Father. And that's where life is, in Him. Now, life is not found in the wisdom of this world. Think about the ages. Think about the philosophers. Think about those who have loved and sought after wisdom. They were wise to do that. But did they receive eternal life, life with the Father, through that pursuit of wisdom? No. Because the only place you can find life is in He who created all life, He who restored life through His cross. And so, even though there's all kinds of good advice out there that can free you from bad habits and help you live out your love for others, as good a person as you may be, if you follow that advice, as well as you may live, there's no life in you apart from Jesus. And so, for we who were born spiritually dead to God in sin, He on His cross, His blood soaking into it, He turns that dead tree into a tree of life from which you and I must eat in faith, and to which you and I must be grafted in, so that you and I can have His life flowing into us. And wonder of wonders, you've been grafted into Him. It happened when you were baptized. You have eaten from this tree of life. You've eaten from Him. It happens all the time when you come to this altar. You have heard from Him, and His Spirit flows in you and through you, through His Word being proclaimed in your hearing. And so no sign is needed for you other than His cross. And no wonder is greater than what flows from His cross. Because you and I have life in Him, life with Him. Just as He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, so now, through faith, He walks with you. And His blood shed for you forgives your sins. And so He, having died and been buried like a seed, now springs up as a tree of life for all mankind, from which we must eat, and by which we are freed, losing ourselves and becoming His people who tend His garden here on earth, so that others can be welcomed into the shade and the rest of this tree of life, who is Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.